Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Lowe's. Do-it-yourself projects. Go to Lowe's.com. Never been home more than now. Can't go to all the places you usually do. Check it out. Lowe's.com. Chris Sims, NFL analyst, played in the NFL 8 years, Bucks, Titans, Broncos, is joining us from an undisclosed location in a state I used to, live in. So I was talking to Eric Mangini last hour, and I said, I can't even imagine being Joe Burrow. I get no OTA. I get no preseason. I'm in the brutal division. Go back, Chris, to your rookie year. You get drafted second or third round, I think. Can you imagine not having a preseason and playing week one?
No, I can't. I really can't. Because just as a rookie in the NFL, you know, of course, I was in an offense that was maybe more complicated than others. And John Gruden's, it's pretty famous for his verbiage and things like that. But it was such a whirlwind, as is for me. And I had a normal offseason with a team that had just come off winning the Super Bowl to where, you know, it just was so much to digest, a new place to live. Man, a new offense, a new language, new teammates, everything like that. I can't imagine being in their shoes, especially in this year, this type of situation. Just getting to know guys on your team, you know, just getting to throw to receivers and feel their body language and things like that for the first time. It's going to be an unbelievable feat for a guy like Joe Burrow, who we're expected to see start right away. We'll see where Tua goes. But I'll say this about these two, Colin. These two came from, at least they have an advantage where they came from two pro-style programs. I mean, Joe Burrow, he learned from Joe Brady, who learned from Sean Payton, and Joe Brady's up there with the Carolina Panthers as an offensive coordinator. So at least he knows what offensive system and offensive football is all about. And Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, he comes from that West Coast system with Sean McVay. A lot of that verbiage is very similar to that Sean Payton system too. So that'll be an easier transition for him. Tua, hey, he's been coached like a pro, as you know, as well, but he doesn't get the benefit of being in that same system he was in college.
Now, there's always been a saying, you can't learn anything sitting on the sidelines, but when your rookie year, how much can you learn if you're Tua for 7 or 8 weeks? I mean, what do you pick up on the sidelines that a fan wouldn't understand?
Well, I think the big thing is you just get to used to the speed of the game. You get to see how the other guy approaches the, you know, the game on a weekly basis, play by play. You know, you start to get into the nuances of, you know, the coach telling you, hey, when I call this play on 2nd and 7, you know, this is what I'm thinking. So he gets to slowly learn all that stuff and understand how to manage a game and situations and the type of throws that are necessary, you know, with a certain play that, you know, he'll file away in the back of his brain as he watches Ryan Fitzpatrick and everything like that. Now, I am from the camp of, I'm always in favor of putting the guy out to play. I am one of those guys. It's a little different this year, so I understand it. But, you know, quarterback is one of those things, Colin, that I'd always say, it's about the hardest position in all of sports to practice. You know, yeah, it's great to go out there and practice, but it's, you know, you're not going to get hit. There's no play clock. There's no crowd noise, all those things. So I always found the best preparation was to get out there, get in the live bullets, have people wanting to rip my head off, have the fans telling me I stink and booing me and yelling at me. That was ultimately the best reps you could get better. And that's what would be my, you know, 2 cents as far as any coach trying to start a young quarterback.
You know, you're in the beast of the belly in New York. The New York Giants have Joe Judge, no experience. I think it's really tough to ask a young Daniel Jones and a rookie head coach and Jason Garrett, hey, no preseason, go. I really think this could work, but I think it's brutal. That's why I'm not going to be really judgmental on Joe Burrow this year, really not judgmental on Joe Judge. It's just different. Let's look at them at Thanksgiving and see if they're making progress, and if they are, I'm good. You know, Joe Judge got some heat. He's making coaches run. He's making players run like high school, and everybody's banging on him. You're back there you know, in New York area. How is it playing? How is the Joe Judge playing, making coaches and players run laps?
It's not bad here. I think people are a little worried that, you know, the team could revolt a little bit just to a degree because, you know, Joe Judge is a guy who hasn't coached in the NFL and hasn't won ball games. And, yeah, Bill Belichick can get away with doing that. But, Joe Judge, you haven't done that or have enough success to stand on to be able to sell that to the players. But he shouldn't have to. You know, one, he should be like, well, the place I came from, we've only dominated football for the last 20 years in football, and it does work. But, you know, he can't come off as like that evil dictator, right? Like every time you do something wrong, I'm the mean guy and screw off and you guys go run. You know, there's a certain balance to that. And I think Joe Judge, I worked with him in New England. You know, I know him a little bit. He's got a great way to communicate and people skills and knows how to relay players. I mean, you can kind of tell just by these clips you're showing on the show right now that he knows how to get around. Bill Belichick is a little bit more of a player coach than people realize. So this is the New England way. And I think he's trying to show everybody, like, hey, some of these mistakes that have gone on during practice the last 4 or 5 years here in New York, they're just not acceptable. And if you guys want to be consistent winners and in the playoffs, then we're all going to be held accountable. Coaches, quarterbacks, whatever. I mean, I saw Bill Belichick make Tom Brady in the center run after a quarterback center exchange. So that just tells you where it comes from, and it tells you the logic behind all of it.
You played for the Bucs. You still have sources and buddies down there. I'm fascinated. I've told Joy this before. It's become nobody wants to look bad in the media. So everybody's like, they'll be okay. And I'm like, my only concern with them is field goal kicking because special teams in Tampa have seemingly been bad forever. Chris, I look at their personnel. I look at Todd Bowles. I look at that defense. I think now we're underselling Tampa. I think they're a real team here. What do you hear and what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that and I hear that too. I mean, they're dangerous. I mean, you know, you're right. Just at a face value, looking at the roster on paper, it's phenomenal. But, you know, I have two questions. I expect Brady and the offense to be explosive and fun to watch. They have a front seven that is very good there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it with the pass rushers on the edge and two good middle linebackers. My two questions are this. You know, pass protection, and especially for a guy like Tom Brady, who we know is not the most mobile, and I think offensive linemen are at a disadvantage with no preseason football and then just having to go into the first week against crazy NFL defensive linemen who are just going to be raring to go. I don't think you can emulate some of that intensity through, you know, preseason scrimmages against your own team. I don't think that's going to be easy to emulate. So I do worry about that, and their offensive line is, you know, a question mark. And then you said it. I love Todd Bowles and a lot of thing about the defense, but the secondary does scare me. It's young, and people do, you know, got to remember, it was the worst pass defense in football last year. So I just got to see those two things before I start going, whoa, watch out for the Bucs. They're like, you know, I got a star next to them as, whoa, watch out for the Bucs. And I think it's going to be really good. I just like to see a little bit, you know, more evidence there in those two areas before I start going, well, they have a chance to be in the NFC Championship game or the Final Four in the NFC or something like that this year.
You have players, friends still in the league. Chris Sims joining us, co-host, Pro Football Talk Live. The bubble stuff works, obviously. That's not a question. UFC went and got an island. It works. NFL is going to be kind of semi-bubble-ish. When you talk to players, is it business as usual? Are any of them bothered by it? Where are they standing on COVID-19?
All the players I talk to, they want to play football. You know, there's respect for COVID-19, but I don't think there's great fear of COVID-19. And of course, hey, this is a demographic of guys, of football players who basically we think we're invincible when we're in our 20s. And of course, we are young and healthy individuals, so have the advantage to have that, you know, mind frame there. But I think the one thing I've gotten from coaches and players, how impressed they were with the protocols early on. And the one thing I continue to hear from coaches is how the locker room's policing itself. That's what I've continued to hear, where the veteran players are, you know, holding everybody accountable. Hey, don't do this. Don't screw it up for the whole team. Don't be going to the bar tonight because you don't have bed check tonight or whatever that may be. So I think with the protocols in place, the coaches who, you know, hey, the NFL is more dictator than democracy, right? And the way it's run, the coaches, you know, banging the drum every day about be careful, don't mess this up. And then the players themselves and realizing there's some financial, you know, rewards here if you can continue to play and play every week and get those paychecks, that I think everybody is very optimistic about the way things are going in the NFL and feel very confident that everything's going to go as planned and we're going to get all set, you know, 17 games in and have the playoffs, or 16 games in the playoffs.
NBC Sports, Chris Sims, say hi to your dad. Good seeing you, buddy. Have a nice weekend.
You the man, Colin. Be good, buddy.
Yeah, undisclosed location. We did not give it away. You know, he's kind of in a region out there in the Northeast, but we are not here to give away undisclosed locations. Very private. He's got a cool place. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, there were a lot of changes in Dallas, but Mike McCarthy kept Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, and he's also letting Moore keep the play calling duties this season.
Oh.
McCarthy said he'll miss calling plays, but he thinks this is the best decision for the team.
Goulet.
He's impressed with how Moore has been doing so far, and he thinks that this will give him more time to focus on other areas of the team. Yes, Goulet.
Yeah, what was your takeaway on Kellen Moore last year?
I mean, he's a little pass happy, but he was really good. It's just odd that you hire an offensive coach to come in and fix things, and then you don't let him call the plays.
Now, wasn't Kellen Moore's knock that once the season got going, he'd showed his hand on virtually everything, and it became a fairly predictable passing offense?
It was, they would predictably pass, like they fell into patterns. So he thought he was being deceptive, but you knew exactly what he was going. Like, it'd be third and long, and they'd like, oh, we'll run it because they're not expecting it, but they were. Or it's second and short, oh, they're not expecting a pass. I think we're going to run, so we pass, but it was predictable. I just don't understand. Why'd you bring in McCarthy to fix the offense then?
But do you think maybe it's just for this year because he's trying to keep some continuity and
not
introduce
too much? That's a good point.
He has a great relationship with Dak because he was Dak's backup when he first became the starter.
Right.
So they mesh together really well.
So McCarthy's saying, listen, like Dak's got a new coach. I don't want to screw up both of them.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot going on right now. There's obviously an adjusted offseason, shorter camps. Everyone's kind of up against it. So you're already bringing in me, a new individual. Maybe you just keep the play calling the way it was last year and keep it simple for the offense. Like, why add another layer to, you know, complicate this season? I think I'm okay with it. I think to Goulet's point, like, he was good last year, a little predictable, but you don't want to overcomplicate things in a year where everybody's
dealing with a
lot of changes and adjustments.
I stand corrected on that.
So Philip Rivers threw 20 interceptions last season, which is tied for the second most he's thrown in a season. But that's not discouraging him from taking risks on the field. Nope, he's going to keep doing that. He just wants to be smarter about it.
I certainly feel confident in throwing the ball in tight windows. Certainly had some throws get away from me in the past, really just last year more than anything. But I don't want that to turn me into someone that's scared to make a play, because I don't think he can play that way either. So I think there's a fine line there between aggressive and stupid.
Oh, ever so fine.
Well,
is
the
line
better
between aggressive and stupid.
If you go look at his career, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, generally when he's had decent protection, he's been a little more efficient. Last year, he didn't have the protection. And by the way, the Chargers went out and got, you know, an all-pro guard, Trey Turner, and then they addressed their tackle position. So last year, protection was a problem. When you're not athletic and mobile and the protection's bad, your picks go up.
I like Philip Rivers a lot. I think he's an interesting individual in that he's known for talking trash to defenses.
Oh, no. Total trash talker.
And he's very fiery. And I like all that. I am just extremely skeptical of this.
Yeah.
I'm not as skeptical as of the Tampa Bay move. But I'm very skeptical of this situation.
I don't love trash talking from my quarterback. Got to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of that.
Generally, no. But if you can if you can dish it, you just got to be able to take it. That's just the rule.
I don't like hat on backwards quarterback. I don't like trash talk quarterback.
I think certain individuals can get away with it. I think Phillip Rivers can get away with it because he's consistent with it and he's not afraid. Like I said, like, you got to be able to take it. You can't be out here talking trash and then, you know, want to get sensitive every once in a while. He's definitely not a sensitive guy.
Oh, no.
I'll give him that. So for the first time since 2014, Steph Curry will not be playing in the NBA Finals. But when he asked who he thinks will make it all the way to the end this year, he would not name those last two teams. But he said, I hate giving predictions, especially in this scenario where anybody could get upset. I'm prepared for anything as a quote-unquote fan.
Well, he may be right. Let's get through the first round. But if Milwaukee and the Lakers get knocked off, then it's just a... Oh, my God.
If Milwaukee and the Lakers get knocked off, I don't know. I think it might change how we look at this championship. I don't know if that's fair, but...
Well,
because would you imagine that would happen if we weren't in the bubble?
Listen, I've watched Toronto play two of their playoff games, and I've sat there and watched Van Vliet and Siakam, and I'm like... They're significantly better than last year. It's weird to me. Toronto matches up with Milwaukee and Boston.
Toronto's a great team, though.
I know.
But Toronto's always that. They're always consistent. They're always fundamental.
They have two rising stars and a great coach and a bench and veterans.
I love Toronto. Who predicted that Toronto was going to win the championship last year? No one except for anyone who lives in Toronto but me, right? So I love Toronto, but it's not really surprising what Toronto's doing. I don't think the Blazers or the Mavs are going to win, but I do think that we're going to look at the situation differently if there is a major upset like that. I don't think that's fair because right now I think think that this is a situation
We'll say it's just a fluke year.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't think that that's fair, but we probably will just by default do that. I don't know that that's going to happen, though. I think everything's going to end up being how we originally predicted it. It's a long playoffs.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So when I was at the other place, I did a rant on hat on backwards. I don't like guys that wear their hat on backwards. And Steve Spurrier, the legendary Steve Spurrier, went to on a press conference one time and mentioned my name. This is a true story. And he said, you know, I listen to that Colin Cowherd. I agree with him on that. I don't like my quarterback to wear a hat on backwards either. I want a grown up.
Cowherd.
That's what he called me. And it's Spurrier. I love him. And so I'm not a hat on backwards guy. Every guy I've never known that wears them all the time is a goofball. And I want my franchise guy to be a grown up. I had about 6 months ago, 6-9 months ago, right before COVID, whenever that was, like right back from the Super Bowl, a kid come up to me in Manhattan Beach, hat on backwards. And he wanted to be a sportscaster. And he was looking for advice. Guess what I told him? I said, put the hat on forward. Can't take you seriously.
I mean, I don't wear hats often, but when I do, I wear them for function, not necessarily fashion. But I would be a hat on backwards, probably. Individual.
I told him. I said, turn that hat
around.
But
what's your opinion? I mean, what about Ken Griffey Jr.? He's notoriously hat on backwards, guys. One of the greatest.
One exception in the history of backwards hats. One.
So you'll submit to
Ken No, I mean, Griffey there's Jr. exceptions to everything. I mean, there are people that fall off a cliff and live. I mean, I can't, there's an exception to everything. But most hat-on-backwards guys don't get it done.
They don't think like
I
seriously.
Told that sportscaster, I said, you should never go up to an American media icon, ask for advice, hat-on-backwards. Turned it right around. I said, now you're a winner. Just a frat boy before, now you're a winner. You're running things. You have control of your life.
So there's just, what is the philosophy?
It's just like guys that wear them are just frat boys. And by the way, that is great when you're 19 and you're drinking Milwaukee's best. But when you walk into a room of players, you want it forward. And then everybody will send me a picture of Tom Brady with his hat. Tom is overwhelmed. 99% of the time, Tom is front-facing Brady hat with his brand. You can see his brand. You ever notice Tom, ever since he developed his brand, you can see the brand. If guys that have
no brand, they wear their hat backwards.
Yeah, you do. And you're going to Senior Froggies drinking all night. Yay. It's not for me.
I don't think there's an equivalent for women of the backwards hat.
Oh,
hat
yes,
guy.
There is.
There is?
Is there something a woman does and you immediately, like somebody in your field, and they immediately come up and you're like, can't take them seriously?
Not really. I'm not a very judgmental person.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Every second of the day.
Plus, younger Joy was, I'm an old lady now. So I make more calculated decisions than I did in my early 20s. Right.
Goulet, when you're a producer, is there anything a producer can do? Ask you. I want to be a producer. And you're like, I know what it is. Chain smoker. Remember that guy we work with, the chain smoker?
I can deal with the smoke. Don't wear shorts to work.
Oh,
that drives me nuts.
Oh, God.
So shorts
if you're in radio, I don't care if no one can see you. Don't wear shorts to work if you're an adult.
Which is why I always talk about training camp, because I would agree with you, Goulet, but training camp was the exception.
Well, Florida training
camp. It's 100 and humid, and you're outside, fine.
And I even questioned it then. I'm like, should I wear shorts?
Every frat boy will send me a picture of a superstar hat on backwards. It's like, yeah, Tom's done it a few times. Watch Tom now. When Tom's at the dais after a Super Bowl or a big-time press conference, he's not wearing it backwards. Maybe at practice, cleaning the garage, but when Tom's at the press conference and it's a meaningful press conference.
So it's just more about how you present yourself.
Yeah.
That's your philosophy.
You
want to
be a frat boy or a player?
A frat
boy. Okay, there you go. Jason McIntyre, tomorrow's headlines today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tomorrow, for the first time ever, SmackDown comes to you live from the Thunderdome, the WWE's new state-of-the-art arena that brings back virtual fans and takes the visual experience to the next level. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown tomorrow at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
All right, Jason McIntyre, tomorrow's headlines today, shockingly accurate. They appear to be weird, crazy predictions, but he is joining us now. And I got to ask J-Mac, do you wear your hat on front or back? You know, there's always, by the way, the first loser on Twitter runs out. Here's a picture of Russell Wilson with his hat on backwards. Every pro athlete's got one picture of their hat on backwards, but the big press conference, you wear your hat, you show the brand. What do you wear?
Yes. Yeah, well, at my advanced age now, Colin, I'll wear the hat forward. When we play in tennis, I'm a forward hat kind of guy. But, you know, in my youth, when I thought I was cool in New York City trying to pick up girls, yeah, I would rock the hat backwards. It was a look when I was 23, but not now, unfortunately.
Yeah, then you got a job. Yeah. All right, here we go. Tomorrow's headlines today. Philadelphia down 2-0 to the Celtics. What's the headline for the 76ers going into game three?
It's looking bleak for the 76ers. No Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid needs help. The headline will be badly Embiid of a win. I mean, they're desperate, Colin. We are talking like, you know, this is DEFCON 1 for the 76ers. I just don't know how it works. I speculated on my podcast, Straight Fire. I know you are a morning listener, that maybe Embiid is the guy you trade this summer. We tossed out a couple teams, the Washington Wizards, maybe the New York Knicks. But I just don't see how you can build around Embiid with Simmons. The roster's clunky, right? You got Al Horford. Like, what do you need him for? Tobias Harris got a max contract, and they let Jimmy Butler walk. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler's about to take Joy's Miami Heat, you know, to the next round. The 76ers are poorly constructed, poorly coached, and I think you got to trade Joel Embiid.
By the way, the Celtics and Clippers took the Sixers for a ride. They overpaid for Horford and Tobias Harris. The good organizations worked a bad organization. Tomorrow's headlines today, LeBron, what's the headline for the Lakers tonight in game 2 against Portland?
You know, I was a little concerned that the Lakers, you know, were going to lose that game, getting into the fourth quarter, because I had predicted a sweep on this show. A lot of your fans came after me. The headline will be, hit a shot, damn it. I mean, goodness gracious, the Lakers starting backcourt. I think they were 4 of 21 shooting. And listen, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to blame the role players. Anthony Davis, he may have scored 28, but Colin, he was pretty terrible. 2 for 15 outside the restricted area. I don't know. Nobody on the Lakers could make a shot. They shot 15% on three-pointers. But the good news is that's not going to happen again. Portland, 27th in the league in defense.
Yeah.
It's a make-or-miss league. The Lakers will be fine. And don't try to blame LeBron, guys. Come on. 23, 17, and 15. He was pretty darn good. He did miss those free throws. But the Lakers will be fine if they can hit a shot.
Tomorrow's headline today, Mavs tied it up with the Clippers. What's the headline going to be before game 3?
Wow, this is the shocker of all shockers. The headline will be Clippers bet a Luka out. Luka Doncic, man. Colin, okay, I did the Dan Patrick show with Doug Gottlieb today. We talked about this. I would sooner build my team right now around Luka Doncic than Giannis. You know, the Clippers are built to stop Luka, right? They got Paul George and Kawhi, two of the best wings in the league. They have no chance against Luka. He's putting them in a blender on every play. He's making Seth Curry look like a star. Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway. It is crazy. And Colin, just let this marinate for a second. Okay. After the first quarter of game one, right? Luka's debut, Porzingis' debut in the playoffs. The Mavs have either beaten the Clippers or outplayed or played them to a standstill in every quarter.
Yeah.
This is a lot closer than I thought. The Clippers last night, are you ready? 16 assists, 15 turnovers. It's a lot of ISO basketball. It's one-on-one stuff that doesn't play well. I think the chemistry issues are real. You better Luka out, Doc Rivers.
Okay, headlines. Tomorrow's headlines today. New England's got a bunch of quarterbacks in Arsenal. What's the headline going to be with this quarterback battle?
Well, you love to talk about hat backwards guy. That's Cam Newton for sure. He's Mr. Cool. The headline will be, Cam, you dig it. A classic, you know that riff from the movie. Cam Newton's going to win the starting job. Yeah. It was fun. Remember, we talked about Stidham for a little while, maybe being the guy, but when Cam Newton walks into that locker room, okay, this is a big, strapping, 6'5" dude with an MVP in tow. He's going to win the job. Now, you were early on this. I'll give you credit. A rare good job by you, Colin. This Patriots team is pretty bad, okay? They're going to be missing four starters on that defense who opted out of COVID. The offensive skill position players, they're worse than the Bills.
Yeah.
They're, like, right there with the New York Jets. I mean, seriously, it is pretty ugly what they bring to the table. So, Cam, I know you want the job and you want to make a big new contract. Be careful what you wish for, because that team is not built for success this year.
Yeah, I mean, actually, they need Cam's playmaking ability. They don't have any playmakers. Like, they need Cam to start. He's one of the few guys that can make stuff happen. He will have to be really good for them to have a winning record. Okay, finally, tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for the Bucks as they try to come back from a Game 1 loss to the Orlando Magic?
Boy, Giannis taking some heat, huh? The Bucks, the best team in the regular season, laid an egg. But the headline will be the Bucks. Don't stop here. Let's not go overboard, okay? The Clippers are in trouble. The Lakers could be in trouble. The Bucks are not in trouble. We can all agree. Your boy Chris Middleton, I know you love to beat him up like a pinata, Colin. He was pretty terrible in game one.
He was.
But this is what he does in the playoffs, right? I mean, Middleton just not a big-time player. And let's be realistic here for a second. The Bucks were number one in the regular season in defense. In the bubble, eight games, they fell back to eighth out of 22. And they just gave up 122 points to Orlando.
Yeah.
You tell me, is this trending in the right direction? Just remember, Giannis in the offseason is up for that supermax. All right? If this Bucks thing doesn't get together soon, we could be looking at some more fun in the NBA offseason.
Do you have a hat with you right now? I want to see what it looks like forward and back.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not wearing pants, so I can't get up. But I do have a hat somewhere. How about this one? How about this one, Colin? This is my new hat, huh? How about this?
I like that. Well, that's forward or backwards. I can't even tell what
that is. Yeah, isn't there a Sixers hat right behind you?
There's a Sixers hat right behind you.
I'm really embarrassed to stand up. I do have underwear on.
Okay, hold on.
All right. Let's go with the hat back.
So let's do it forward.
Here we go, Clippers.
Okay, look at that.
What up?
I mean, I wouldn't let an intern walk into the studio wearing. Now look at you.
Yeah,
you're a fan.
You're a little sharper. This is a brand new hat. The Sixers sent it to me because I'm a loyal fan. Go Ben Simmons.
All right, go where? Go to Ben Simmons to Orlando.
Joy is cracking up at my underwear. Right. Yeah, that could have been embarrassing, Colin. Thanks for that.
See you, buddy. See you, buddy.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Right. Hat on forward, you just look like a pro. Do-it-yourself projects, Lowe's.com. Do-it-yourself projects. Never been more time at home. I'm at a bar cart. Check it out on Twitter. Hashtag Lowe's Goals. Join me in the fight to do cool projects at home. We're off tomorrow. Joy and I. See you Monday.